Somebody jokingly said the other day, why don't you help the guys down? Yeah, right. They rebel. Opening your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians or whatever, 1 Chronicles or whatever device you might use. Some of you have it on your phone. Some of you have a separate little electronic Bible. I've been eager to share this with you. To me, this is a very, very simple message that carries a ton of meaning and information. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we share the word this morning. God is doing some awesome things around here. And it's hard sometimes to keep up with everything that he's doing. But one of the things is he's raising up leaders. And it will be leaders that will be much stronger than just here in this church. But in this community, they're going to be leaders. We have new avenues that's carrying us over into the neighborhood that surrounds us. And we're thankful that God is opening those doors. The men's ministry has been doing the neighborhood prayer walk now for over a year and a half. And we're starting to see those doors open so that we can be going into different areas of our community. That takes leadership. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things, and just one, that God is doing here in this church. Last week, we recognized the winners and those who participated in fine arts. And for a church our size, in the last, I don't know, 5 years, we've got five number one in the nation participants in different areas. So God has just given talent and raising up leadership and pouring out his Spirit, and he's healing. And more than that, God is just using so many different ways to bless this congregation. I want Miss Mary just to share something real quick. I asked her, she was telling me about it earlier, and I said, would you share that just briefly? God is blessing this lady, and let me tell you why. Because she's precious. Some of you ain't getting blessings the way you need because you don't fit the mold. Just letting you know in case you would just share for a second.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to share about the handyman ministry in our church. If you all don't know what it is, it's a precious thing. They come to my house yesterday, and when they got there, it looked like a jungle. And when they left, it looked beautiful, beautiful. They do wonderful work. And if you have any extra change, donate it to their ministry. I'm sure they can use it some kind of way.
Amen. Amen. That's handyman. I just commend those guys for all that they do. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, starting at verse 25. Now, I know that most of y'all don't like begats and begottens. This is similar to that. But pay close attention, because the Holy Spirit's got something to say. And usually right in the middle of the begats and the begottens and all of this other stuff, there's a little gem just for you. And Azimuth, the son of Adiel, was over the king's treasury. This is talking about the king's men that had surrounded him. And each one had a position. And Jehoathan, the son of Uzziah, was over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, in the villages, and in the fortresses. Ezri, the son of Shelob, was over those who did the work of the field for tilling the ground. And Shimeah, the Ramathite, and some of you might say, is he pronouncing that right? You don't know. So don't worry about it. Probably not. Was over the vineyards. And Zabdiel, the Shiphonite, was over the trees and the sycamore trees that were in the lowlands. And Joash was over the store of oil. And Shatara, the Sharonite, was over the herds in the fields in Sharon. And Shapheth, the son of Adlai, was over the herds that were in the valley. And Obil, the Ishmaelite, was over the camels, and Jedidiah, the Meronothite, was over the donkeys, and Jazi, the Hagarite, was over the flocks, and all these were the officials over the king's property. And Jehoathan, David's uncle, was a counselor and a wise man and a scribe, and Jethiel, the son of Hakamani, was with the king's son, and Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushiah, the Archite, was the king's companion, and Ahithophel and Jehoiada was the sons of Benani. Then Abathar and the general of the king's army was Joab. Out of all of that, I want you to look at one thing. It says Joash was over the store of oil, probably one of the smallest references in all of these guys that have been mentioned here, but perhaps one of the most important. So I want to speak to you just for a moment on the keeper of the oil. He was over the store of oil. What an important position. What we have in these verses is a list of the officers who served in David's court, along with the duties that each of them were expected to carry out. It must have been a great honor, especially in that day, to be chosen by the king for a place of service. They were chosen for this place of service that they received. Imagine if the president or the mayor or the governor were to call and ask you personally to fulfill some office in his administration. Most of us sitting in this room would consider it a great honor to be specially chosen to work in that administration in a specific place. But you need to consider something, and some of us haven't done that. That our Lord chooses out men and women to serve him in specific places. Most are much like me. Some are like you. Most of us would never expect that God was put his finger on us for a real position of service. I remember when I realized that God may be calling me to the ministry. And I went home and told Susan, I said, Susan, I really feel in my heart that God might be wanting me to be a preacher and to be in the ministry. And she started laughing hysterically. And she'd walk for a little ways and then turn around and go, and turn around and look at me and say, oh, you're crazy. It was one of the last things that I ever thought that God would want from me. I was so shy and backwards, still am. Haven't changed much in these 44 years, but I was the least likely. Yes, in my yearbook, I was the wittiest, but I sure wasn't the best speaker. I took an F in English because I wouldn't stand up and read in front of the crowd. I was embarrassed to do that. Now it doesn't matter. I just go on. Y'all don't know what I'm reading, so I'll just pronounce it however I want to. No, I try to use a little bit of my education. I'm edumacated. But God said, you, and he put his finger on me. Just as he's putting his finger on you for some place of service. God has given every believer a place of service in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's not the us collectively necessarily. It's us individually coming together collectively. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 and verse 11. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God that's at work. What a blessing when we can be used by God, by our Lord. It's a blessing beyond compare to be chosen, to be considered worthy, to be gifted, to be used by the Lord. You have a gift. He has given you one. Find your place and begin to put to work that which God has blessed you with. It says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So it was the Holy Spirit, it was God that decided what you was going to be best at. Your personality fits that. Your abilities fit that. Your gifts fit that. The Holy Spirit's not going to make a mistake like that. So this is a list of officials from David's kingdom. And it can teach us some things that are very important about us serving the Lord. It shows us, number one, each person had a place of special service. Now, that's not on your outline as number one. That number one's got a different This is just before we get to the outline, just in case. Each person had a place of special service. You see, God chooses what we do, where we do it, and to what extent it will be done. You're not here by mistake. God purposed that you would be here. And I believe that He purposed that some of you would be here this morning to hear this message. We like to choose, don't we? I don't want to go to that church. I'm going to go over here to this church. They're happier. Maybe they need you over at that other place because you're going to ruin the new one. We have to be careful because God places us. Don't change. Don't do something unless you bathe it in prayer first. Find out what the Father's will is and then get in the center of it. No one else can do the job that you've been specifically signed to like you can do it. You can do your job better than anybody else. But God can use somebody else if you refuse. The job will get done. But He chose you. Just like He chose these guys. Next, each person was called by name. When God calls you, it's not a haphazard thing. He calls you by name. God knows your name, in case you're wondering. He cares for you, and He keeps up with His children. He knows when you're naughty, and He knows when you're nice. And He knows when you're in, and He knows when you're out. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 30, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them fall to the ground outside your Father's care. In verse 30 it says, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God is in the business of taking care of you, and He takes care of you best when you're obedient. And you're obedient when you're in that place that He needs you the most. I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. I want to be right in the middle of what God wants me to do. Each person next is in a different capacity. We all don't do the same thing. Sometimes we get the idea that God has called me to this church to sit on this seat so that it doesn't move. And when we all think that, not much gets done except the chairs don't move. God might have planted you here because you're going to just bust this place wide open in revival. He might use you to start a revival that'll sweep outside the walls of this church, through this community, through Rock Hill, and on to South Carolina. We never know until we're totally obedient. Or He might have called you here to facilitate it. Or He might have called you here just to sweep the sidewalks. Well, I'm not going to sweep no sidewalks. If God asks you to, you better. Because nobody can do it better than you. And somebody's going to walk up that sidewalk with a scowl on their face, I don't want to be here today. And they're going to look down and say, ooh, what beautiful sidewalks. I feel better already. And they'll come in with a positive attitude instead of that negative attitude. And you did it by sweeping the sidewalk. You say, well, that really happened, Pastor. I don't know, but it might. So do the best you can at whatever God's called you to do. God put us where we are. We need to grow where we're planted and make the most beautiful flowers and the most beautiful greenery that we can possibly make out of ourselves. We make our little area flourish because God has planted us there. Next, each person was placed where they were by the King. Anywhere the Lord places you is a special place of service. From those that work the camera or those that work the sound. You know, the sound can be very annoying. So it takes someone with talent, and they didn't just start out being perfect. If you remember a few years ago, we used to go, and some of you would cringe. But now we've got the sound just right. And if you've ever been on the website, you know that we have quality of picture that's going out. You'd think we were one of them mega churches. It's because God has given us the talent and God has placed us in the right place. And there was those that were willing to say, use me, Lord, wherever you want. So anywhere that God places you is that special place of service. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. They get to do that and I have to do this. That's okay. Do this with all of your might, with all of your energy. Susan grew up in a house with three girls. They each had a job. One would help cook. One did something else. Susan made salads and teas. Listen, that's a blessing. This girl can make some tea. Of course, that's all she could do whenever we got married. So we'd have a bunch of green stuff and a great glass of tea. And I said, where's the food? It's there. No, this ain't food. This is grass. I'm not eating this stuff. So I taught her how to cook. Our first Thanksgiving, she had never done a turkey. We didn't have enough money for a turkey. So I said, you know, we got to have a Thanksgiving meal. I'm going to come up with something. Don't worry. So I was down at Pantry Pride and I was walking along and there was leg quarters. And they were on sale for 19 cents a pound. It was a long time ago. So I bought some leg quarters. And I was walking down the canned vegetable aisles. And there was cream corn and regular corn. And they were on sale for 5 cents a can. Son, I bought a truckload of that stuff. So when we got home, Susan says, what are we going to have? And I said, we're going to have Cornish hen. And I made Cornish hen, and she liked it. Probably wouldn't like it today, but then we were hungry. I'd been eating grass for 2 weeks. God knows best where your gifts lie. God knows best how you'll bring Him glory. He knows best what it's going to take for the edification of the whole church. You see, we're interested in our little section, but God's looking at the whole thing. Not just in Rock Hill. He's looking beyond the borders of our state, of our nation. He's looking around the world. What's going to bless my kingdom the most? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 in the New Living Testament says this: He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what God's going to use you for. So that everything works perfectly and in order and it's full of love. We could spend hours just talking about the assigned duties that are here in this verse. But I want to center in on that one little verse 28 where it says that He was the keeper, or He was in charge of the oil. His name was Joash. He lived down in the cellar, taking care of the oil. Here's a man who was in a place of special service to the king because the oil was valuable. It was not a flashy job. Not one that attracted a lot of attention. There wasn't people standing in line to have that job. But he served the king. It was dark and it was damp and it was deserted down in that cellar. Day after day, night after night. But he served the king. I want to look in on this little job that Joash had. He was called to fulfill that position. I want to consider this man, and I want to look at the cellar as the place of service. I remember Brother Brody went to, I was pastoring in North Florida at the time, and he came every year to wherever I was pastoring, because I was going to have Brother Brody. He was my mentor. He had forgotten more than I'll ever know in my life about God, about the Word. But one of our young men had gone out and started a church in another part of Florida, and he was kind of struggling, and it was a difficult area to work in. And I asked Brother Brody, I said, would you go down and be with them for a few days? And he said, oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. So he goes down and he walks into that church and he says, son, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, aren't you? This place is bad. Now, that's what you want to hear from an evangelist coming into your church. But that's where he was. Now, the cellar was probably kind of like Brody thought about that church. It's in the bottom. It's no place to brag about. You might wonder what you and I can learn from such a passage as this. We can learn a lot about faithfulness to our Lord during our service, wherever we're appointed and placed. You see, Joash's responsibility was tremendous. He represents much of the church this morning. Like Joash, many Christians serve God in obscurity. Yet the service that you provide is absolutely essential to the life of the church. So I want to look at the keeper of the oil. And we'll learn a little bit about point one on your outline. The duties of his job. The duties of his job. He was mandated. The king looked at him and said, Joash, keep the oil. Because the oil was valuable. It was tremendously important to the Jewish society. Because that oil was used religiously. In Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1. When anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour, and they are to pour olive oil on it. The priest shall take a handful of the flour and the oil together with all of the incense and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar. A food offering. An aroma that's pleasing to the Lord. So they were not able to bring that food offering, the grain offering, and offer it unless they had oil. So the oil was necessary. It was mixed with that finest of flour and with all of the incense. And it became that offering of an aroma that was pleasing to the Lord. That's kind of what our worship is all about. It pleases the Lord. And we worship and we glorify him. And it's that sweet smelling savor that wafts its way to heaven. But oil was also used as lamp fuel. Exodus 27 and 20 says, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the lights, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, just outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Law, this is to be an everlasting ordinance among the Israelites for generations to come. So the lampstand of the Lord that represents the Holy Spirit would be filled with olive oil, and then it would be lit and kept burning. And it was the light that was in the holy place that leads into the Holy of Holies. So when the priests came in to do their ministry, that light needed to be burning so that they could see. Without the light of the Holy Spirit, we have no direction and we can't see. It's vitally important. But it was more than that. It was also, the oil was also an item of commerce. It was also used as a medicine. And it was also used in cooking and in cosmetics. Oil was extremely important to Israel. Oil is also a symbol because it represents the Holy Spirit. And we need some saints of God who will be keepers of the oil today. Here in our church, you make sure that the Holy Spirit's in attendance. You make sure that you're calling upon him to pour himself out upon the congregation every Sunday. You're a keeper of the oil. You can't let anything happen to it. We need keepers of the oil in our services, in our churches today. We need someone who will make sure that there's some old-fashioned preaching and praying and praising and personal holiness that's rampant within the church. That God is moving and God is using people. In that day, the keeper of the oil literally kept the lights on in Israel. He was one of the most important men in all of the cabinet. The keepers of the oil in the church today literally keep the lights on at the house of God and in the hearts of the believers by making sure that the Holy Spirit is shining bright. Oh, Joash was important. He was a keeper of the oil. You are important when you become a keeper of the oil. Point B, stay in place. Point A was keep the oil. Point B, stay in place. It must have been hard for Joash to stay in that cellar all the time. If you want to live a life that's pleasing of the, unto the Lord, just be faithful to serve Him in the place that you have been put. Stay where He put you until He moves you. Don't get happy feet and go from one place to the other. Serve where He planted you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now it is required that those who had been given a trust must prove faithful. If God trusts you in a place, can He really trust you? If you want to always be in the will of the Lord, then keep on doing the last thing that He told you to do until He tells you something new. If you're doing what God has told you to do, and it may have been the last thing, and it may have been years ago, but if you'll keep doing that, you'll always be in the center of His will. How do I know what God wants me to do? Listen to Him and then do it. And keep doing it until He tells you something else. He says, when you become faithful over the little things, I'll make you the ruler over much. Some of us want to become the ruler over much without doing any little things. God doesn't work that way. God wants you to prove faithfulness. Then point C, watch for intruders. Joash, keep the oil and stay there. And don't let anybody steal it or change it. Make sure it stays pure. Joash was to keep an eye on the oil and be sure that none got stolen, lost, or become unsanitary. We need watchers in our day. We need people who will stay wide awake in the kingdom of God. We need people who will make sure that the oil of the Holy Spirit is not misused, not taken out of context, not stolen by complacency or apathy or worldliness or popularity. I remember in a church before I was in the ministry, but one of the board members of that church came into our Sunday school class and said, we're going to have some very important people in service today. Don't be speaking in tongues and running around. We want to impress them. I was still wet behind the ears. I didn't know. I just said, okay, I'll be on my best behavior. Wouldn't you know that God just poured it out that morning? Son, we had a run, high kick, sharp. It was, whoo. We had people going down in the spirit, flipping over the altars. I mean, we had a service. And that family, that group, one of our deacons was so concerned about. They said, this is the kind of church we want to be a part of, one that's alive. Had we been dead, they would have never come back. But God knew what he was doing. And he pinched the right people. Deep, and they jumped up and started taking off. If you feel a little twinge, maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to move. Make sure that just because of popularity or worldliness, we don't lose the oil. The duties of the ancient watchman were so important, and we need that today here. That same kind of commitment. You don't leave your post. You do what you're asked to do. Because somebody wants our oil. Revelation chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have found your works perfect before the Lord. I have not found your works perfect before the Lord. It would be easy for us to let our guard down, especially when we're alone and we're discouraged. We're down in the cellar and nobody's been down there to even say hi in weeks, except the guy who come and got the barrel of oil and rolled it out. He said, see you later. And that's the only contact you've had. Not everybody's going to say hi to you on the same Sunday. But over a month or two, most everybody gets to everybody else. Don't get offended. Please. Don't wear your feelings up on your shoulders, just waiting for somebody to knock it off. It gets lonely sometimes. And you feel like you're walking all by yourself, and you get discouraged. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He may be looking at you. Point 2 on your outline. The disadvantages of his job. Oh yeah. Almost every appointment of God has a disadvantage to it, humanly speaking. Number one, it was unnoticed. There was no flashiness about it. It was a thankless job. The others had much more recognition than he did. It would have been fun being over the treasury. You get to count that money every day. It would have really been fun to work with the horses or out in the fields with the harvesters, the planters. picking the grapes, popping one in your mouth every once in a while. That would have been so different than staying down in that cellar day after day. The only way you can combat that is remember who you're doing it for. Do it for the King, because the King sees every effort and he knows every energy that's put forth. God's call to a task says that God has faith in you. Your obedience, even in a difficult place, shows that you have faith in God. His appointment says he has faith in you. Your faithfulness says you have faith in him. They're both huge. Our duty is to deny self, obey the Lord. Matthew 16:24, they deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Just keep the oil. Point C, it was a lonely job and it was a great disadvantage. Sometimes the Lord's work is a lonely work. I'll never forget when I was talking to my pastor, Randy Tate, at the time that I was feeling this call. And he said, what do you feel like you're going to do? And I said, I don't know. I'm either going to be a youth pastor or maybe a pastor. I don't know. Maybe I'll be an evangelist, but I'm just not sure. And he said, Bernie, ministry is one of the loneliest jobs you'll ever take. I could not understand that. I could not fathom that. I said, are you kidding? You got friends galore. They're always around you. He said, you'll see. I'll never forget him saying that. Because sometimes the work of the Lord is a lonely work. You feel like you're the only one. Yeah, Elijah felt that way. And he crawled up underneath a tree and went to sleep. You'll be misunderstood, misused. So the appointment of the Lord sometimes is very lonely. But every now and then, the King would pop in to see old Joash. How's it going? Joash would brighten up. It was a wonderful day. The King has come to visit. He probably felt like Mephibosheth when he was way off in Lodi and he was in the low place. The only one left of all of Saul's family, a descendant of Jonathan, whom David loved. And David said, go get him and bring him to me. He'll eat at my table and he'll stay in my house. And all the land of his father and his grandfather will be restored to him. That's kind of the way Joash felt when the King come walking down the steps. All is well and the job is worth it when the King comes to visit. When you hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant. It'll be worth it all. Just keep the oil. Point D, it was an unappreciated job, There may have been some that kind of made fun of Joash. People not always understand you and what you're called to do. But serve the Lord and put Him first. And He will pour out blessings upon you. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need." People, keep the oil. And very quickly, the last point on your outline, the demands of His job. We're rounding third and starting toward home now. The demands of the job. The number one demand was stay until the king calls for you. Don't go running off, but stay. Be faithful until he calls you home or until he changes your assignment. Our number one job with all of God is to be faithful. Point two, don't come out for any reason. Do not walk away from your faith. Do not let your faith even get loose in your hand or in your heart. Let it be firm. Don't come out for anything. The temptations are out there, and they're always tugging at you. Don't come out for any reason. If you're serving the Lord, you're doing the greatest work in the world, and there's nothing that will equal it. Anything else will be a step down. You remember when Nehemiah saw the walls of Jerusalem that were down and the gates were burned, and it just broke his heart. And the king said, "What's going on?" And he told him, and he said, "Well, why don't you go fix them?" And he took a little band of men, and they went, and they started building the walls up. And Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4, it says, "When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in place, Sanballat and Geshem sent this message to me, 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.' But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent a messenger to them with this reply, 'I'm carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?' 4 times they sent the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer." They were saying, "Come to the plain of Ono. Talk with us. When you're busy with what God's told you to do, and Satan or some temptation starts saying, 'Come on down, come on down,' just say, 'Oh no. Oh no. I can't.' It's a very special person who will just stay put, serving God in the place that He planted them. There's harassment, there's difficulty, there's fatigue. They go unnoticed. It takes a special person to think more of the Lord than they do of themselves. It takes a person who is spirit-filled and spirit-led. Joash. You know what that means? It means Jehovah fired. The fire comes from God. Woo. That's where I want my fire to come from. I don't want it to be a wildfire. And I don't want it to be a man-made fire. I want my fire coming from God. I want to be Jehovah-fired. And that's what Joash means. The personal energy of God was given to him and infused in him. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit for him to just keep on doing the job and keep the oil. Then lastly, obey the king. He's the one that you need to please. Just the king. Doesn't matter what others think. Please the king. Just keep the oil and everything's going to be fine. All will be well and every need will be met. God wants your obedience, not your sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Are you a keeper of the oil? Are you faithfully fulfilling your duties that God has assigned? Couple of facts. That type of servant is humble. They're willing to do the job that they're given. Psalms 84:10 says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Those kind of servants are helpful. They're always looking out for the good of all. Exodus 17:12 says, "When Moses' hands grew tired, that Aaron and Hur took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset." Those kind of servants are hopeful because they know that they're going to be rewarded for their faithfulness by the king. It doesn't matter to them if others notice. It's not important. They know where the king has placed them. Just keep the oil. You know that the king takes notice of your service. They do it out of love for their master. I call on you as a part of this church. Keep the oil. If that's what he's assigned, keep the oil. But as far as the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit moving in us, keep the oil. The place of service, keep the oil. It's important. Bow your heads, please. Father, I thank you so much for this simple little message with such far-reaching truths. God, you've called us to a variety of places of ministry and work. And God, some of us, we hadn't found those places yet. Or if we found them, we didn't like them. Please, Holy Spirit, use this message to help us sort out that place of ministry that you would have us be. It may be in the confines of the nursery. It may be in the parking lot, greeting people as they step out of their car, holding an umbrella whenever it rains. It may be teaching a class or knocking on a door. It may be a place of prayer. But wherever you appoint us, let us be faithful in that place. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, this really is an important moment in this service, because everything that's been said and done from the very beginning song until now has been for this moment. It's a moment of your decision. Most important moment of the service. If you would just say, Lord, I'm willing. I want to be found faithful. Show me a place. Show me a place. Give me an assignment. And I'll be faithful in that place and in that assignment. Here I am, God. Use me. If that's where you're at right now, would you be kind enough to just stand to your feet? And by your standing, you're saying, here I am, God. Use me. Assign me. Plant me. I'm willing. I will be faithful.